Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
My friend Muriel and I used to go dumpster diving when we were about 12 years old. We lived in the countryside and loved roaming around the town riding our bikes. There was this old abandoned factory in our town in front of which people used to dump their garbage for the cleaning van to take away every Sunday. So, the best time to dumpster dive was Saturday night, as we could have a lot of stuff to look through for hidden treasures. The reason we called our findings hidden treasures is because sometimes we did find some pretty expensive stuff that people just threw away due to a little dysfunction. One time, Muriel found this set of silver forks, which were covered in rust and broken at the tip. We earned good money selling them in a pawn shop. So, it was a Saturday night fun activity that not only gave adventure, but also thrills. The dumpster was located in a sketchy place where no one would go after sundown. The abandoned factory was infamous around the town for all kinds of criminal activities. But we never went inside the factory, just kept our business to the dumpsters. Until one night, our world turned upside down. I was standing on the sidewalks opposite Muriel's house and waiting for him to sneak out so we could go on our routine expedition. After 5 minutes, he came out and we began riding to our destination. It was a full moon night, so even if our cycles had headlights, the view was still clear as crystal. The silver moonlight helped us navigate our way. We passed the cornfields, then the shimmering lake, and finally reached the abandoned factory. We parked our bikes under a big tree and walked to the dumpster, grabbing our flashlight and pickup sticks. The dumpster had a reeking smell, so we didn't want to use our hands directly to grab something. Like I said, we have done this many times, but particularly that night, something felt off about that entire place. Generally, we would hear sounds of crickets and frogs, but that night, we heard nothing. "Isn't it too quiet tonight?" "Yeah," I said, while scanning the spooky surroundings. Suddenly, a coyote howled in the woods and Muriel said,
"Let's get this done with and go home. I'm getting a weird vibe about this place tonight."
Muriel was braver than me in most cases, but as soon as he said that, I felt the hair at the back of my neck stand up. We poked and ransacked the dumpster with our sticks. After a pile of household waste and rotten food, I saw a red hairy thing peeking out under a black layer of a garbage bag.
"Hey, Muriel, what do you think that is?"
"I don't know."
We looked at each other and I moved the layer of plastic to see it more clearly. As soon as I did that, I backed away screaming in fear.
"Ah! Holy moly, is that?
The reason Muriel stuttered in fear was in front of our eyes. A partial head with curled red hair was now peeking from the pile in that dumpster. We were about to pee ourselves as we realized we might have discovered the body of a woman.
"Should we call the police? But who would believe us that we had nothing to do with this murder?"
While Muriel and I went on discussing what should be done in this situation, my eyes went back to my head, and I saw it move. I froze in fear. No words came out of my mind. I just kept staring at that head in the dumpster.
"Russell? Russell! What is it?"
Muriel called out to me and I pointed at the head with my shaking hands. Both of our eyes got fixated on the head and we were pinned to the ground by an unknown fear. The head moved in a very creepy way, bobbled up and down a little for a few seconds, and then all of a sudden... A woman rose from the dumpster. She looked like a being from another world. Her red, stringy hair floated in the air like a pile of snakes. Her long, pointy nose with a huge black blitz on its top dangled on her face. And her eyes. I've never seen such wide, scary eyes. Her eyes almost stretch to the cheekbones, making her stare cold as a dead fish. She slowly crawled out of that pile of the dumpster like a four-legged animal, and we slowly took our steps back in fear.
I didn't know you boys would come to visit me.
She looked like a woman, but her voice was of a possessed demon. Our bikes were still far from our reach, and I knew if we tried to run, she had a very good chance to catch one of us and do unthinkable things. So I tried to play it cool. We were only fooling around.
Were you?
Yeah. In fact, we were just about to leave. You know, our parents must be worried, so...
I don't think your parents know you are here.
Look, we're sorry to disturb you, dumpster lady. It won't happen again, okay?
Dumpster lady, that's not bad. But what won't happen again?
This. We'll never come back here. We promise. Yeah, we promise.
Who said you'd be able to leave and come back again?
Saying this, she jumped on Muriel and started choking him. Her filthy long nails dug into Muriel's flesh and he screamed for his life. I, on the other hand, was so taken aback by fear that for a few seconds I didn't know what to do. And then an idea came to my mind. I ran close to her and poked her in the eye with my picking up tool. This made her move away while holding her one eye, writhing in pain, and I picked up Muriel from the ground. We both started running to the tree and turning back to see the lady chasing us like a mad dog. She was literally running like a four-legged animal.
Stop, you little pigs! I'll catch you and break your necks like twigs! Stop!
Obviously, we didn't stop. As soon as we got to our bikes, we bolted out of there. The lady chased us till the factory went out of our sight, and then we never saw her again. We didn't stop until we reached Muriel's house. I went home shaking like a coward and didn't utter a single word to my parents. Muriel and I both knew that we would be the ones to get in trouble for sneaking out and risking our lives, so we remained quiet about this lady. But the story doesn't end here. The next day, Muriel came for a sleepover at my place. We were just watching TV before dinner when my dad turned to the news channel. The county sheriff is said to have found the body of an 11-year-old boy in the dumpster near the abandoned factory this afternoon. As per the autopsy report, the boy died due to choking. The police officers also found a strand of red curly hair stuck in his hand. The sheriff is suspecting that the killer is a woman with red curly hair. The victim's family claim that the boy left home on his bike this morning and never came home. His bike is also missing. No suspect has been identified yet. Muriel and I exchanged a fearful look. We told our parents about this woman right away, and they took us to the police station immediately. Both Muriel and I gave them information about the appearance of the woman, and they distributed her sketches so that people could identify her if she was seen in the area. But she never was. The boy's bike was found in the cornfield 2 days later, but there was no sign of that woman. The fact that if Muriel and I didn't get the chance to escape that night, one of us, or maybe both of us, might have been dead already. Most people often have a bad impression about dumpster diving, but in reality, one can find many precious, completely unused items which had just been thrown away. Some of you might not know that there are dedicated dumpster divers who don't do this because of the financial crisis. It's more like a treasure hunt experience for them. I used to be one of them. Now, you're probably wondering, why did I stop? That's where this one incident comes in that shook me for life. It was a Wednesday. I was surfing through Netflix, not finding anything interesting enough to watch, so I decided to take a stroll through the neighborhood. I lived in this small house with my dog, Duty. On my way out, I kissed him and said, You're up for watch duty, boy. See you later. He wagged his tail and I grabbed my backpack and left. The plan was to roam around the neighborhood dumpster trying my luck. I had already found an iPhone and 2 silver candle stands, which I sold at a pawn shop in exchange for a good price. Hence, I was pretty confident and excited to see what I could find that night. I rode on my bike and started searching for a favorable spot. After wandering for 15 minutes with no luck, I finally discovered this huge dumpster located at the railroad. It used to be an attractive railway track, but since the nearby station burnt down in a terrible fire, this place had become abandoned. I'm not an easy scare, so standing near an abandoned railway track right next to the woods in the middle of the night didn't raise my heartbeat at all. Like I said, it wasn't my first time diving into a dumpster, so I was cool with the situation. I parked my bike under a tree and walked to the dumpster. I always carried rubber gloves because obviously, trash is trash at the end of the day. Many times I found used syringes and contaminated belongings, which I didn't want to touch with my bare hands, so I put on gloves and my torch helmet to begin the expedition. The sound of frogs and crickets accompanied by howling coyotes kept reminding me how the night was getting younger. The dumpster was filled with leftover food, which was rotting already. The foul smell irked me, but I still kept going. I found a large trash bag and tore it to see the contents inside. There were mostly household waste, along with baby diapers, empty cereal boxes, ragged clothes, and a Teletubbies soft toy about 2 feet in length. I couldn't identify what color it was due to the muddy stains covering it. I kept the toy aside, thinking that it would be a good gift for duty. I continued searching for 10 minutes more and concluded that this wasn't my lucky night. Taking the soft toy, I decided to head home. I was riding my bike while staring at this Teletubby doll I had just found. There was nothing suspicious about this toy, except it felt a little heavy. I reached home at around 1:30 a.m., Duty started barking as soon as he saw me. I entered the house to be showered with an enormous amount of licking and cuddling from him. This, of course, was his way to say that he was glad I was home. I caressed his furry back and said, "Hey, boy, look what I found. Your luck proved to be better than mine tonight." Saying this, I showed Duty the toy, but didn't get the reaction I was hoping for. As soon as he saw the toy, he moved back whimpering like he wasn't happy at all to see it. "What's wrong, boy? Don't you like it?" He made that squeaky cry as if he was trying to tell me to get rid of this piece of junk. I guessed it was probably the dust and trashy smell making him disinterested, so I threw it into the washing machine. Slowly, the mud started to come off, and when I took it out, I realized that it was a doll of Lala, the big yellow Teletubby. I was going to put it in the dryer when I flipped the toy and my heart stopped. On the back of that toy, I could spot a few lines written with a marker. It read, "In remembrance of baby Kyle, may you find peace in heaven." Jesus, did I just pick up a doll that once belonged to a dead kid? That's when I heard Duty let out a spine-chilling howl, and the power of my house shut down. I stood in the darkness holding the toy. For the first time, it felt like something was not right with it. The eyes of Lala glowed in the dark as if they were alive. Suddenly, my doorbell rang and I almost got a heart attack. Bloody hell. Duty came running to me and whimpered like he was scared. Who could it be at this hour? I slowly walked to the door and looked through the eye hole. What I saw made my skin crawl. A scary-looking man with a huge grin on his face was standing on my porch. He had an upside-down cross engraved on his forehead with a sharp object. Blood was still dripping from his forehead, flowing down his nose. A strain of blood flowed down to his lips, and he licked his blood and said in a raspy, spine-chilling voice, "I think you have something that doesn't belong to you."
What? Who are you?
"I've come to take the doll you picked up from the railroad dumpster."
"How do you know it's me?"
"Baby Kyle told me."
"What?"
"Baby Kyle wants to go home. He doesn't belong with you, so give him back now."
I couldn't make out what shocked me the most at that moment. A freaky-looking man who probably worships the devil has come to my doorstep, or I just picked up a doll that belonged to a dead kid once. For the first time in my life, I was scared for bringing home something from a dumpster that wasn't mine. I said in a confused voice,
"Did you follow me?"
"I do not have time to chit-chat with you, you poor mortal! Just hand me the doll, and I'll be on my way!"
"Why do you need this doll so desperately?"
"Enough with your rubbish! Give me my doll back! Do it! Do it now!"
Saying this, the man started to bang his head on my door like a freaking psycho. He was banging his head so hard that at one point I thought his brains would come out.
"Leave my house or I'm calling the cops, you freak!"
I immediately dialed 911 and the man suddenly stopped the sick stunt he was pulling off. He then took out his tongue and believe me, I will never forget that scene. He had a black tongue and suddenly, two other men came out from the sides who were hiding all this time. I realized they all came up with a plan that the moment I will open the door, they'll lunge at me. Luckily, I didn't. When the cops came, the three men were gone. I told them everything and gave them a thorough description of those men. So far, they haven't been spotted, and I burnt the doll in my basement incinerator. I have no clue about why those men came to my house to get back a worn-out Teletubby doll that once belonged to a dead kid, but I am pretty sure that they were in a cult and used black magic and stuff like that. God knows what their intentions were, but I sleep with a knife under my pillow to date.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.